This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
The recent school shooting in Georgia by Colt Gray, obviously he's in custody now, and his father, Colin Gray, now in custody as well, both facing murder charges for that tragedy. We also recently saw a police body cam video shot about a year prior to the actual shooting, where there was allegations that Colt had made some threats on Discord. Not a whole lot was done about it. There was a quick little visit, some talk about deer antlers, and then the police were on their way. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. What was your reaction to that video the year before, and did the officers fail in that? Were their hands tied? What was your analysis when you, I mean, hindsight's 20/20 for those guys, I'm sure, but what was your thoughts on how that was all handled?
You know, every time we deal with a case that deals with kids that are lost, it just tears me up.
Yeah.
My multiple reactions on this one. My first reaction is, how many times does a little boy need to say, I need help, not get it, and go kill someone?
Yeah.
It keeps happening. I mean, these are, I'm working on another book right now. One of the themes in it is red flags.
Yeah.
How many red flags? Because this is just another horrendous case of, we don't need to sit back from a 30,000 optic lens looking at, so where are the red flags? He told us. He said he's in pain, he needs help, and he didn't get it. Yep. You know, in law enforcement, they don't have the tools to do more than they did. You can't arrest someone. You know, we talked about this before. In cases like this, we need a new process. Mm-hmm. We need a process where when someone says, I need help, they get help. And part of that help is no firearms. Firearms are now illegal to you in your life because you are under mental duress, you're under mental care, whatever. And then accountability for everyone in that house, same way. Because with the laws that were in place, you're right. You know, it's a tragedy because there was nothing else law enforcement could do because there's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
I mean, they could have gone in. I mean, they could have looked at the devices. I mean, I was surprised just how quickly they took him at his word of saying, no, I didn't do this. I mean, they could have gotten a warrant to go look at some of this stuff. But the reality as well is, and this is not an excuse, but the reality is schools get threats all the time. And people make threats online and trying to weigh what's serious and what's not clearly hasn't worked very well because we miss a lot of what is serious. I think we're entering, at least I hope we're entering a world now where all of them are taken very seriously and not just, well, we talked to him for a few minutes and turns out it wasn't quite credible. I think anytime you make a threat like this, it's like going to the airport and making a threat. It's serious. It is what it is. Like, you made the threat. There's no walking it back now. Now you're going to face the consequences of your actions.
Yeah. You know, again, going back, because I got Gavin DeBecker on my mind,
yeah.
Because I just finished that book up. Threats are a great time to intercede because threats aren't actions yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, threats are the red flags. And when you get that, that's time to move in because then you still have time to do something about it. And boy, we've done such a good job reacting to these things, which is really great, but sad at the same time. And even in this case, the mother called in and they had a 30-minute heads up. Wrong student. It was such a similar name. I mean, what's the probability of that? They did a great job of moving in as soon as they had the threat. The mother calls in and it could have been stopped, but similar name. Oh my gosh.
But was that handled well? I mean, even similarly, so we're looking for the kid. We want to go talk to the... You get the threat alert, put police by the doors immediately. Like, mm-hmm. It should have been into lockdown right away. And even yep. while you're trying to figure this stuff out, but there's this, you know, disconnect, I think, with so many folks where, number one, people, when we're talking about the kid itself, when kids need help, the parents need to admit that their kid needs help. I think a lot of parents want to admit that half of the time because, you know, their little Susie's or Jimmy's perfect. And then also well, it's not going to happen here. It's just another, you know, it's another threat. But, you know, we're going to go talk to the kid. No, boom. It's like pulling a fire alarm is how that should be handled. Not let's kind of quiet. Let's like lock down now. Just stop. Because what is it going to hurt? Kids are already terrorized. We're already giving them the shooter drills in school every year. So they're already kind of ready for it. Might as well, you know, employ what they've learned so we can prevent these sort of things from happening.
I know we say it every time, but I'm hoping this is the turning point.
I hope so.
You cannot get more fine-tuned. I mean, we keep fine-tuned. This school did, it was as fine-tuned as you possibly could be for reacting. We got to stop training to react, and we have to start training to proact.
Yeah.
Because the teachers had badges that was able to alert like this. That's fantastic. Yeah. You know, the mother called in. They had the wrong student, but they had a student. They reacted there. They had two resource officers on site. I mean, and so, yes, it could have been so much worse, but they were so fine-tuned to reacting.
But even that was not enough.
It wasn't enough because we're not proacting. We've got to, when especially in these cases, the kid said, I need help a year ago.
Yeah.
And he didn't get it.
Well, and when you look at the dad, you would want any father to be proactive to try and get the kid help. He seems just like an idiot. So I'm not surprised he didn't recognize that this kid
needed help. Kerosene on a fire.
Yeah, completely. I'm going to get him a gun for Christmas. Yeah, great idea, genius.
Can you imagine? You know, you're going to accuse my son of wanting to shoot up a school? Good, let's get him an AR.
Yeah, why not? That makes a lot of sense. I had an idea on this, and I threw it by Jennifer Coffendaffer earlier today, and she really liked it. Actually, I did it off the air, but I want to throw it to you on the air. What if, because we're all searching for ways in our country and how to get a little more proactive, police substations, they're all around cities. Mm-hmm. Why don't we have them connected to schools? Why don't we make the substations part of the school, literally? Not where there's a jail where you're going to put criminals in there and such, but where, you know, officers are dispatched out of. There's offices there. And you have many officers there. We see it at like the Dallas airport. It's basically its own city now. And it has its own substations and such. Why don't we do something like that within our communities? Schools are centrally located. Granted, you're going to have infrastructure costs and things of that nature. But if going forward, we started looking at a plan like that with our schools and the police being right there on campus, might make it a little bit harder of a target to go and pull something off at.
Part of a target, I agree. I still think we're going to, unless we attack the proactive nature of these kids,
it's one step. I mean, it's one more piece of reinforcement that...
I mean, you make it more challenging for someone to want to victimize a school.
Yes.
There's no doubt. And I love that idea. But again, if they're not going to shoot up the school, they're going to shoot up someplace else then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And so, which is great. Don't shoot up kids, try to go for someplace else. But unless we get them to not want to shoot something up, they're still going to go after something. You see this all around the world, you know, gun advocates, whether you're a gun advocate or not, you know, all these other places around the world, they're still, if you're bent and determined to kill someone, they're going to get a knife. They're going to do something. They're going to run into you into a car. And so if you have someone that's mentally disturbed like that, they're going to find a way to act on it. Guns makes it immensely easier. And you have a lot more victims in those cases.
Yeah.
But same time though, we need to do a better job as a country dealing with kids. And it's not like we have to hunt them down. They're saying it. Tony, it just blows my mind. I mean, I can't recall them off the top of my head. The majority of the cases you and I have covered the last couple of years that were the horrendous child, anyone in the 20s and younger to me is a child.
Yeah.
Koberger included. When he was a teenager, he said he needed help. Mm-hmm. All these kids are saying they need help and they didn't get it.
Yeah.
Or got it and forgot about it, or didn't get it enough, or whatever it is. So it's completely still a mental health issue that is the big proactive thing that, and I don't have a solution because I'm not a mental health professional. Same time though, it's not rocket scientists. We have a large number of shootings that could have been prevented Not if we reacted better, mm-hmm. but if we actually listened to them saying to us, I have a problem and I'm going yeah. to shoot someone up if you don't stop me.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and feast on the good stuff.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today for 10% off your first month.